Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha! Just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Look, life gets tough for everybody, and the ups and downs can take a toll on your mental health. Thankfully, BetterHelp is here, a new sponsor of the ALN podcast, available worldwide. And it's available for you to reach out to somebody to have some chats with about what you're going through. It's like a weekly therapist that you can schedule and have through video and phone sessions. Also available on your desktop, mobile, web, Android, and iOS apps. You can send messages 24/7, 365 to get matched with a counselor who's right for you. Professional and affordable counseling. Because we all need it. You know what I'm saying? I just started getting into therapy, and it's changing a lot of stuff for me. You must be 18 or older to join. We have a custom link for you, betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. And you sign up. It's proactive mental health. It's not a crisis line. Financial aid is available. The expertise in this network is locally available in many areas. But regardless, if it's not close by for you, again, video and phone sessions are available. And it's easy to change counselors if you're not happy with the one that you get matched with. But I highly recommend it. And betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Find a professional and affordable counselor for you to just chat with and, navigate through the tricky waters of life. Because it can get a little bumpy out there, as Mariah Carey once said. I don't know if she said that, but hey, it's even gotten bumpy for her. BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight and start treating yourself to some help, some mental help. We all need it.
Hey, what's going on? This is Bill Burr from the All Things Comedy Network. I'm very excited to tell you that we are going to be releasing a stand-up special from the unbelievably talented, unbelievably hilarious, and unbelievably original Ted Alexandro. He has a new stand-up special called Senior Class of Earth. You can check it out exclusively at atcspecials.com and follow the All Things Comedy Network for more ways to support your favorite comedians. This is huge for us. This is everything that All Things Comedy was about. We wanted to get in business with great artists and help them to maintain control and ownership of what they created. And this is our first foray into that. Once again, it's called Senior Class of Earth. From the great Ted Alexandro. You can check it out at atcspecials.com.
Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. What an episode today. The one, the only, Thomas Lennon. You know him from Reno 911. You know him from I Love You Man, Lethal Weapon, The Odd Couple, 17 Again, countless credits. And he's in a new movie called The Bellman with me, coming out very soon, that we just shot. That's how I met Thomas Lennon. He's a comedy god, one of the best in the biz. Is really just a phenomenal actor, improviser, and getting to act alongside him in The Bellman was, definitely a career highlight. And happy to call him a pal now. And he gladly came into the podcast and fucking crushed it. This episode is... So fun, so hilarious, and and just great. And Tom's got a book out. He plays with the Smiths cover band. He's got projects and shows on all the time. So just follow him on social media, at Thomas Lennon on Twitter, at Thomas Patrick Lennon on Instagram. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter, at ALN Podcast, at Funny Brad on Twitter, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Tour dates, I'm hitting the road with Adam Devine coming up. All that tour info at LiveNation.com or AdamRayComedy.com. We're coming to a city near you. And then I will be coming to Timonium, Maryland, November 15th through the 17th at Magoobie's Joke House. And then the following weekend, Gotham Comedy Club, November 23rd through the 25th. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams and I are performing in a comedy dance show for E! And the tickets are available now. We will tweet the link out. But if you Google funny dance show, come to the taping October 22nd. Come see Brad Williams and I compete in a choreographed dance that we've been working on with Brian Friedman, Britney Spears choreographer, for the last couple weeks. And we're going to compete in this funny dance show for E! And it's going to be fucking great. So come to the taping. It's October 22nd. Google funny dance show live taping. Search for the one with Brad and I and come out and support us. Brad Williams this weekend will be at Levity Live in Oxnard, California, Thursday through Sunday. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for ALN merch and past and present episodes. ShopAdamRay.com for Adam Ray merch. I got a ton of shit up there. Get it. Buy it for the holidays. Make your family love you even more. Subscribe to the pod on iTunes. Comment and rate the podcast. 5-star rating. Comment and email us at AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com. And we'll send you some merch if we read your fan mail live on the air. Speaking of which, today's fan of the week comes from John Capocelli from New Jersey. He sent me an email. It came to my show at the Stress Factory this past weekend in New Brunswick, which I had a fucking blast at. An amazing club. First time there. Shout out to Vinny and the whole crew at the Stress Factory. John Capocelli sends me an email. Hey, Adam. Saw your second show with some friends at the Stress Factory in New Jersey tonight. Just wanted to thank you again for taking time to chat with us and take some pictures. It really meant a lot. My friends and I have been listening to ALN ever since we saw your set at the Comedy Store during our trip to LA a few months back. You really helped make that night a highlight of our vacation, and we're really glad that we got to see you again tonight. You really don't know how much we appreciate it. It really means a lot to us. You and Brad have been the highlight of every drive to work for the past few months. And for that, I sincerely thank you. Again, thanks so much for hanging out after the show. Really was a hell of a Friday. Hoping to see you again in Philly in a couple of months. John Capocelli, you're the fucking man, dude. Thanks for listening to the pod. And thanks for hanging, dude. You guys are cool as shit. It's easy to hang and chat when people are down to earth and just, you know, real peeps. You know, that's what you want. You want real peep connections. So send us back your sizes, John, and we'll shoot you some ALN merch, bud. Thanks for listening to the pod. So again, email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with your fan moments, why you got into the pod, where you listened to it, what your favorite eps are, and we'll potentially read those on air and get you some free merch, all right? Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with a very funny Thomas Lennon.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
No, I can hear you guys.
Yeah, you don't
Do you have
it.
Callers? People call in?
No. We can. Yeah. We have one insane super fan.
Who's that?
Well, her name's Terry Warren.
Hey, Terry. Let's talk to her. What if we just talked to Terry this episode? Yeah. I mean, she just feels like it's in her
We've
head.
Done a version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And she knows way too much about us. But
or does she not know enough?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think her and my wife are going to become pen pals at some point without uh-huh. my knowledge. Now... when you walked
Tom to you.
Yeah.
Cilantro.
Oh, I can't cheers.
No, drink that candle. Drink that candle. Drink that motherfucking candle.
Drink that candle.
Drink that candle. Drink that candle. Drink that candle.
Oh,
drink
God,
that candle.
This is like my time at USC all over
drink
again.
Drink that candle.
pussy. Come on, man. You said you drink candle wax. I never said that, dude. You said you'd
autumn apple, bitch.
It is an autumn apple candle.
Now, have you ever been on a podcast before that gives you the option?
Going?
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, shit, guys. That's not fair. I thought.
No, you want to hang for a minute?
Oh, I thought we were hanging for a minute.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can turn it off.
No, I'm excited. So we started with just going, drink that candle, drink that candle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Just Brad flashbacks of when fall went wrong.
I mean, that's how I got into every frat party is I just walked in and went, hey, guys, do you want to see a dwarf drink a candle? And they're like,
they go, you had us at, do you want to see a dwarf, ..
Yeah. Whatever you say,
and then
follow
it was
that.
It
was irrelevant.
The state as a group only got kicked out. Kicked out of some parties at different places.
Yeah.
But we got kicked out of one frat party at, I believe we were at either Duke or the University of North Carolina.
Damn.
And it was Michael Ian Black.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Ian Black was being so fucking weird.
Oh, he wasn't raging too hard. He was just
No. He was just being weird. He was just acting like Michael Ian Black. And some guy came over and was like, hey bro, close party. It's a close party. And then we got chased out of some like frat house.
Now was this like doing college tours? Like would
the state used to do college tours, yeah.
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 That must have just been,
it was debaucherous. And
like their campus theaters or...
Yeah, we would do tour colleges and stuff. All I remember is we did one tour, it was called like Winter on Wheels, and we toured around the Northeast, all the colleges, but our last stop on the way home drove us past Foxwoods.
Okay.
And every single one of us lost all the money that we had just made.
Oh, yeah. Foxwoods Casino.
Like we'd made $600 on the tour, and we each lost $900 at Foxwoods.
Oh my God! On what game?
Sucked. Mostly blackjack.
Yeah,
state's a lot of blackjack players in the state.
That's awesome.
Yeah, guys, it's nice to be here now that I know we're going.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Yeah. This is look, we've known of you for quite some time.
Met you before. Never heard of you before. What do you do?
I was on two episodes of Friends.
Oh. Wait a minute. Let me see your hand.
That's as much
Let
as
me
I
see your hand. I know fucker. You. I think I know who you are.
Has that happened, by the way?
How long have the gummy bears been out?
A couple days.
Just they seem gross.
Nope, I refresh them.
You do remember? Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
I was just trying to see. Okay, they're loose.
By the way, if that's not the real gummy bear test for the commercial, where some little fat kid walks into a room and goes, how fresh are those? And then he tilts them up. Do it.
How fresh are those gummy bears?
That's the fresh test.
They actually are fresh.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, that's what they do. That's what they do at Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm. I'm also soaking in them.
The blip. Because nothing says fall time like gummy bears.
At the end of this podcast, we're all sticking our wangs in there. I don't
drink
know what's going to happen.
Candle.
Drink that candle. Wangs in the gummy bears. Drink that candle. Wang. Capri Sun.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it, but I love it. What flavor is that? Who cares?
Who cares? Wangs in the gummy bears. Drink that candle. This is a fucking crazy Tuesday, guys.
Weirdest frat ever if those are like the hymns you have to sing to get initiated. There's one kid there just like, I don't know if this is the house for me. All right.
Can I just go to the other house where I get paddled?
We got a pretty cool social scene here.
Yeah, actually, we got to know all the chicks.
Yeah.
By the way, we all, just so in case you were worried, we put our wangs in the gummy bears at the same time.
Yeah. So it's not weird.
Like, you're not on the spot.
No.
That makes it less weird.
Nobody's, not,
nobody's on the spot.
We're not hazing you guys. You're the only person to put
it's
your dick in the gummy bears.
Genuine camaraderie.
Yeah.
But by the way, if you want to go to the houses that aren't dipping wangs in gummy bear bowls, that's on you, man.
That's fine. Guys, what's the theme of this podcast?
Fun.
Shit. Okay.
Sorry.
Sugar.
There's a lot of candy around.
Yeah, it's a halftime of a soccer game from 1996.
Yeah.
I forgot your name.
just call me the other one.
No, what's your name?
Brad.
Oh.
Do you know any Brads?
I need a mnemonic device for that.
I mean, we have Brad, Tom, and Adam. We're essentially the whitest
ever. Oh, man. This is super, super white.
So, welcome to the alt-right podcast.
Great. Oh, my God. Finally. I got to say some of the stuff I've been thinking about. Why have we been on trial?
I mean,
it's like you can't
really
walk up to somebody and just go, honk, 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 honk.
I know.
Times have changed, man.
I feel like the world's against white people right now.
Right? I'm going to take the Capri Sun straw.
This has never been done before. Good for you, dude.
If there's ever if there's some sommelier that listens to our podcast, he's crying right now. Wine through.
You know, it's actually wine through the Capri Sun straw.
Okay. Wait, the wine.
You just get a little. You get a tiny little. It's like just dipping your beak. You get the tiniest little amount.
So you want to get drunk very slowly.
Absolutely.
I think this picture sums up why every male gets into show business, because we want to be, you're almost 40, you said? Almost 40.
No way to look that up.
Yeah.
Sorry, world.
Luckily, there's no way to look that up.
You want to be in, you want to be middle-aged drinking wine out of a Capri Sun straw.
Yeah.
That's everything. And now he's trying to stab gummy bears with it.
Yeah, I can't do it.
now, see, that's the second test.
All right, Brad, you owe me $50.
No.
See? Told you couldn't do it.
I'm going to do this when the wieners are in the bowl later. You guys are going to have to document that, because we're all going to be holding the bowl. We hold the bowl, everybody puts their wieners in it, and we send karma police for some reason.
I really like that. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's very hipster.
I heard you say on a podcast or interview recently about going to, might have been our boy Bobby Lee's podcast.
Bobby Lee, the best.
Bobby.
I mean, other than you guys, Bobby's the best guy.
Bobby is the greatest. He's known him forever, too.
I've known Bobby for a long time.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How, there's no better person, in my opinion, to make laugh. He has such an aggressive, violent.
Oh, when he laughs, he laughs really hard. Yeah.
But you were mentioning about going
to. Have you been to Bobby's house?
Yeah.
He does that show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's dodgy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been there for, I think that was the place he got with his Mad TV money.
It feels like, and I say this with love to Bobby, I know you're probably watching.
Sure.
It feels like, you know the movie Seven? And you know how they go to like seven places?
Yes. Yeah.
If that movie was called Eight, the eighth place is Bobby's. Like, I come in here, I'm like, oh, Adam's a pretty normal dude.
Yeah,
There's a lot of workout gear.
Too much, some would say.
There's a lot of workout gear.
Yes.
There's a buttload of scented candles, which I dig.
Yeah, great.
Sure.
But Bobby's, you just go in, and it's, the whole building's curious.
It is. Mm-hmm. The elevator seems like it hasn't been refurbished in a while. Which, I don't need a super, like, upscale elevator, but I need one that looks like it's been touched.
It feels like you could go missing in that building.
1,000%.
And nobody would know.
No.
They wouldn't know, and they wouldn't check.
Yeah.
It's just
the tenants have an agreement, an unspoken agreement. They're like, dude, we didn't see that guy. Yeah. Did you? And they go, what guy?
What exactly. guy? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So Eight. It's like the movie. It's the eighth place in Seven.
Which maybe it's that level of fear that keeps you on your toes for the podcast. You're like, I might not get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me just say what's on my mind.
He's also got like eight weird white guys who like perch in corners for the podcast.
Yeah. Oh,
you don't know what
room.
They do. Yeah. No, they're all there. Like, you just have a couple ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great. Normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. This kind of feels like more like Two Live Crew kind of party. You know what I mean? Especially when this thing happens later.
Dicks in the gummy bears.
Wangs in the gum. It's Wangs.
Wangs. Wangs. Sorry.
All right, you're out.
Sorry. My wife is Asian. I don't want to offend her.
You talk a lot about your wife.
I just like
to
No.
I mean, it's starting to feel like she protests too much.
And also, where is she?
Hey, man. My wife doesn't like it when I talk about her too much on podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't? Well,
you've mentioned her three times.
My wife won't like that.
Brad.
Speaking of saying her name three times,
Brad.
Just showed my 9-year-old nieces Beetlejuice for the first time.
It's a great
loved
picture.
Loved it.
Yeah, it's a great picture.
Do you do that
picture.
With your kids? You bring back...
Ollie, here's an interesting thing that I've done, which is I, at some point, just shit the bed on parenting and movies. One time I had the
really?
I had
the guy
flu.
That wants to put the wings in the...
Yeah.
Gummy
believe it or not.
The bed on parenting?
I know, it's weird. Right?
I don't understand that.
So, one point I had like the flu, and when you have a kid, like... Suddenly, you guys don't have kids yet, do you?
No.
Okay. You'll start to, like, sometimes you'll, like, let them have a play date with someone you don't even like that much.
Damn.
Just because it's like...
You're talking about the parent or the kid?
I'm talking about, like, you're like, oh, that I don't like that kid that much.
Yeah.
But are you talking about giving me 3 hours in the afternoon where I could get some shit done?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go play at that kid's house. And then also, like, movies, you'll do this. Yeah. So I was, like, not feeling very good. And I was like, oh, Ollie, let's watch the best, in my opinion, one of the best action movies ever made. Batman Begins.
Wow. Mm.
Which is great. And of course, like in that movie, like a guy walks up to Bruce Wayne's dad and goes like, shoots his face off.
Yeah.
And Ollie was, you know, like a year old.
I was expecting to say at least five.
No. Okay. He was like 18 months or something like that. And he could barely talk, but he was like, hey, they murdered his parents. And I'm like, that's how he became an idea. And I want you to become an idea also. He's very into horror. So he's always been like a horror guy.
How old is the kid now?
He's now 9.
Okay.
I let him watch The Shining about a year ago.
Okay.
Which,
and in the day,
couple things about it.
Daytime or nighttime?
Oh, nighttime. We watch nighttime pictures mostly. But I forgot about some of the language in The Shining. It gets a little
aggressive.
Intense. A little aggressive.
Yeah.
For a 9-year-old. There's words he had never heard. And then I was sitting there thinking, oh, shit, how do we do this?
Now, how now how do you explain that when he's like... You
know, I don't talk about it. We're so Irish. We just don't talk about stuff.
So he's like, no matter what happens. Mean?
And you're right like, after we do the wangs and the thing, I'm never going to look at you again.
I would expect
I don't know how
that.
I'm going to
Or if he does
to.
Look at you, you just have an unspoken agreement of like, remember that? Remember that day?
Remember that time? You're gonna
maybe I'm doing it to get compromise on you. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe you're like, hey.
No, I'm doing it because it feels good.
You're like, hey, you going to buy my book?
Oh, guys. Mm-hmm. This has been great. How much longer?
At least 20 minutes at least tops.
Yeah, okay. How do you get money for a podcast? You have
sponsors.
Yeah, sponsors. What's one of your sponsors?
Ridge Wallet.
Obviously Gummy Bears. Ridge Wallet. They sponsor Bobby's podcast too, I think.
Yeah.
What's a Ridge Wallet?
It's a very small wallet.
Is it like this? Check this out. You want to see a cool
that?
Wallet?
Well, I mean, it's not as cool as Ridge Wallet.
Probably not. How much do you get? You just
50 grand.
I mean,
yes?
No. That's Joe Rogan numbers.
New gummy bears every week. That kind of money.
Yeah, I can afford though. They have those at Cost Plus World Imports.
I don't
know. Do you have to say the whole name of the business?
Yes, you do. I think you're going to go in. There's like some stores you just get a scoop and you get as many as you want.
Are you a big scoop guy? And I want to transition to when you go to the store with your kids, like Costco. Do you stop for samples? Because they probably go sample crazy.
The boy doesn't go crazy for samples. I kind of stopped going to Costco, and here's why.
Yikes.
Well, you're a big star.
I'm a big... not fully accurate, but I'm in the top 2,000 on IMDb.
That's
with very seldom being in the top 1,000. So
you're in good company, though.
Yeah.
Glenn Close, Will Smith.
In the top... Will Smith's in the top like 50. Probably.
Yeah. So he's in the top 2,000.
I think
and the top 2,000. Yeah. Oh, so you're looking at it like a Venn diagram.
Yeah. Sure.
There's not some, like rankings.
There's some overlap. No, because.
Which it is.
Rankings, you're right next to the guy that played Donkey Lips on Salute Your Shorts.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
good
Costco.
Actor,
I stopped going to Costco because, first of all, they only take checks.
What?
Unless you have an American Express card. They never used to take normal credit cards. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. So you always got to bring a check, and then that sucks. I don't know, I hate writing checks. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like doing it. Feels
it's
like
a thing
weird,
of the past already.
Feels like a weird, like sending a telegram or something. I don't like it. I want to Venmo you just sitting here just to do it.
I got anti hands.
Just say for gummy bears. I ruined your gummy bears.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing about the Costco here, which is out sort of Los Feliz-y.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like older Russian grandmas
that
rotate around the grocery store part.
Mm-hmm. The
part where the samples are going to come out.
Oh my god!
And then when the samples come out, it's like, do you remember those things called the Tooth Fairy in Hellboy 2? They just go.
Oh yeah!
And they eat everything down to bones.
They were played by a Russian woman.
They were played
Costco.
By the Russian ladies at the Costco at the LA Glendale Costco.
Yeah, they had that green screen suit.
God forbid,
on, like,
if something
Andy
good
Serkis.
Gets put out.
Oh, I'm talking about what's something that they're waiting for.
Mini quiche. Little quiche.
They love mini quiche.
I was there one day when the pigs in blankets came out.
My people just called them quiche. It was like
cheers to Brad.
I got a cheers for that joke.
Yeah.
All right.
Put my hat to you, sir.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It was really good. It was really good.
I'm fast on my tiny feet.
Brad.
How often
you got a black wedding ring?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But you're married to an Asian lady.
Yeah.
So that's confusing.
Very. What race is she? I got to check my ring. Mm. Yeah.
I've lost two wedding rings.
You've lost them?
Two.
On shoots? At home?
Yeah.
Fucking other women?
No. Yeah, usually they just end up... Yeah. Two of them... Do you remember the guy that played the principal in Ferris Bueller?
Yes.
Yeah. Two of them I lost up his butt. I mean, he's a convicted. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
No. Here's how I lost two wedding rings. So this wedding ring here, ready? Listen for the sound, guys. You're going to love it.
Okay.
That's a cheap-ass wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's because this is, you know that little like a kiosk at the Grove where they sell like jewelry and it says like silver in air quotes? That's where this is from. It was $16 at the Grove.
No way. Right.
And my first wedding ring was platinum.
Yeah.
It was solid, like white platinum, they call it. It was like $4,000.
You can like
something like that.
Hit someone with it.
Was doing a like Amy Mann's Christmas show at the Wiltern Theater.
Okay.
Awesome.
Ben and I were getting dressed in the Reno 911 outfits. And I always slipped the ring in the pocket of the shirt just because it doesn't dangle.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have a wedding ring. So the show was a disaster for us.
No.
We got heckled.
What? In the Reno 911 outfits?
We're in the Reno 911 outfits.
Come on.
And some young girl on the upper balcony just goes, come on! Get on with the Amy!
Oh, okay.
Enough!
Yeah. Jesus.
And we were like, it was really, really disconcerting.
But in character, that's a fun thing to get to play with, yeah?
No.
No.
It's like, no, don't like
No, it was actually like, it was like two nights before Christmas. It was at the Wiltern.
God.
We got heckled by some drunk Amy Mann fan, which was like really weird. Mm-hmm. Just didn't feel right. And then we were like storming out of there because you know when things don't go well, you get out of a place real fast. Fuck me, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ruined your Christmas.
Yep. Dick in your, guess what? Joy of the gummy bears. Christmas is ruined.
Yeah.
Go get home. And then I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm feeling around.
Oh, no.
And then I go and I find the dangle shirt and I feel in the shirt and I kick the pockets. Gone. So somewhere backstage at the Wiltern Theater in L.A., I lost a $4,000 wedding ring.
Jesus.
That was my first one. So then I do a genius move, which is I get an exact replica.
Oh, good.
I told my wife. I was like, hey, I lost it backstage at the Amy Mann show. And she was like, not only that, you also got heckled. And I was like, yeah, it really was a shitty night.
Somehow the heckle.
By the way, also, they didn't validate my parking.
Yeah.
So I lost $4,000 and $20.
And earlier that day, some old Russian lady beat me out for the last mini quiche at Costco. And I'm still looking at me. Pissed off about it.
So I get an exact replica ring. Mm-hmm. Heavy, platinum, $4,000. Same. I go to the exact same place. I'm like, just make me the exact same ring. Identical, everything. They're like, great, I get it back. It's got good, it's good and heavy. So I was skiing up at Mammoth. And I feel in my glove and I'm like, oh shit, fuck. My wedding ring. Where the fuck is my wedding ring? And I pull my glove off. I don't have my ring on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing it on my right hand. I don't know why. It's just something I do. So it's not there. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I know what happened. When I pulled my gloves off in the restaurant, my hand was cold. Mm-hmm. So it must have popped off down at that Yodeler restaurant down at Mammoth.
Jeez.
So I'm going to call them right now and say, please look around. There's there's a very expensive ring on the floor or somewhere near where we were sitting.
Make sure you tell the people that are making just above how much minimum wage.
That it's a $4,000 piece of ring. It's $4,000 ring. I literally
fart these out. It's worth more than your life.
I will never think about it again. But if you happen to find it, shoot me an RT. I'm like, I got to get my phone out, call the Yodeler.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell him how much. Well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. So I unzip the thing. Pull my phone out, and you know, your phone used to like have headphones that were attached to it.
Yeah.
Old iPhones used to have. So I pull the phone out, headphones are attached, and I watch, it was in this pocket, I watch my wedding ring go, I'm on the ski lift, by the way, I'm on chair 25.
Oh, God. No.
And it goes like that, and I just see it, like, remember the shot with the Frodo and the thing?
Yes.
And it just went and went into the snow, like
Bye.
50 feet down.
Yeah.
And then the rest of my day as I skied down there, and it took off my skis and I just walked around trying to find
it. You looked for it.
I looked for it for hours where I thought it was. And every time people would go by, they'd be like, are you okay? And I said, I lost my wedding ring. They said, you should have a metal detector.
Okay, man. Yeah.
I happen to be skiing
right.
for the first time ever without my metal detector.
What are the chances?
Anyway.
So now you have a
cheap wedding ring.
Yeah,
a cheap wedding ring.
That's what this is.
What's that?
It's,
the black one.
It feels nice. Silicone.
Oh, it's rubber.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So it just like
going in a bowl.
At some
going
point.
In the bowl. It's going around it in the bowl. Candle.
Wait. So are you a big holiday guy? Because you commented on the festivities.
Yeah.
Where?
Or the festiveness that you've stepped into. Just in general. Do you have a favorite holiday?
Oh, but we're big Halloween people. Yeah.
You are. Yeah.
We live in a really good LA Halloween neighborhood.
Dope.
House is not decorated.
We get it's crazy. We get like 4,000. We give out 4,000 pieces of candy.
Holy shit!
And then we stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just stop. We close the doors.
And I feel like that's enough.
And I stand outside. I feel like that's a pretty good commitment.
That's a lot.
Sure.
It's a lot of candy.
By the way,
one per person.
Yeah. Damn.
What? We're in the
Do you just have the door open?
No. We do it in the driveway. It's so crowded that we now have to do it in the driveway.
Are you in the Glenn Close, Will Smith neighborhood?
I'm not in the Will Smith neighborhood.
Fair enough.
That's probably Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
But Beverly Hills, the houses are further apart from each other.
Yeah, right.
I'm in the old neighborhood over there.
Yeah, because the lawns are 3 football fields long. So,
You can't go.
No.
What an extra financial responsibility to just be like, oh, I'm in a dope neighborhood that is like very Halloween conducive.
It's part of your...
I have to get a couple hundred
like
dollars
part
worth
of your
candy.
Property tax.
Yeah.
Or you'll get egged.
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seem like someone that did the egging instead of getting egged in high school.
No. I was a high school. I was a, like a drama guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I was very, very into the drama. Oh, I believe we talked about this.
Yeah.
Because you were Danny Zuko and so was I.
Yeah.
Now, you're a much more plausible Danny Zuko.
Maybe. Arguably. Says maybe. My mom and the rest of Temple Beth Am. Yeah.
I think you are.
If Danny Zuko wore short shorts, you would be a much...
I had an idea. So Adam and I were just making this movie, which was really fun.
Really great.
And around four in the afternoon, every day, I would pitch, hey, we're in this like weird hotel.
We're staying at a resort the whole
Arizona.
Time.
Yeah. There's nobody. There's no one there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the Overlook. I was like, what if in the bar tonight... We just get the cast of this movie and we do Grease from memory. So we never look at scripts.
That's how we advertise it on posters. It's Grease from memory.
It's just the parts they could remember.
Oh.
Which, by the way, is probably a solid 60% of it.
At least.
Yeah.
By the way, that...
It's almost exactly.
That show would sell out the Largo here in Los Angeles.
Oh, Grease from memory?
Grease from memory.
Right.
One Thomas Lennon tweet. And
one thing you have to do, though, is you can't announce it too early because you don't want the cast... to start remembering it.
No, that's the fun.
Because suddenly they'll start remembering stuff you don't want them to remember.
No. Do you have to loosely talk about it with a group of people and then say any day this week? Or do you just...
I think what you have to do is you have to say you're doing it and then change it up at the last moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And just do something completely different.
You gotta call an audible.
You announce the date, Grease from memory, and then the day of, that's when you call the cast.
And we're doing Grease 2. Yeah,
which
and
really
like fuck. I have no idea.
I didn't even know that
there's,
was. So
there's one of I got bed bugs or
Michelle Pfeiffer.
I don't know what happened. I think there's a song called "I Got Bed Bugs" in Grease too. Right?
I mean,
there's a song called "Wow, Michelle Pfeiffer's in this."
You know? Yeah, she was right.
Yeah,
she's the girl.
Yeah. She was Sandy, or did they change her name?
I don't know. I've never seen Grease.
She's like Brandy or something. Now the characters of this.
Can we take a break and watch that? We'll come right back. And we're back. That was better than I thought.
Wow. Yeah,
I loved Grease too.
Holy crap!
Are there
did not expect the aliens?
Way better than I thought.
Yeah,
it is. What stopped us from actually making that happen?
I don't know why we didn't. You know what? I think we were all a little exhausted. The days were long.
Yeah, but the second time you brought it up, I was more on board than I was the first time you brought it up.
Everybody was pretty down.
And then I kept gating. It was one of those things where you say and you look around and you're like, you laugh.
Are we doing this?
You laugh it off and then you're like, but great idea.
Like when people pitch orgies and you're like, that's stupid.
But
unless we did
it. It is 7:45. It's early,
right?
Yeah.
I do have a wine cooler.
Right.
It kind of makes sense.
I mean, we're not doing that. Right.
I can grow a mustache between now and then.
Yeah. Zima is the official drink of orgies.
I really enjoyed making that movie with you. Well, that's why I'm here at your podcast.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I wouldn't do a podcast unless they make me do it.
I love you for that. It. How did you get, I mean, that? First of all,
that
it's, yeah, it's, you know, for me, I'm pumped to work and you've done so much. I feel like you get to be pretty selective at this point, yeah?
No, I do everything that they offer me.
But there has to be something because this character, like people are going to.
This was hilarious. So they're like, do you want to play this guy named Gunther who's like a fraud?
And this
and
is
like maybe has an accent and it's just super weird.
So they gave you a lot of vague like creative freedom.
They basically told me nothing until the night before.
Like your name is Gunther.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then they're like, oh, he might have an accent. And I was like, well, shit. Okay.
All right. Is that more intimidating or more appealing?
No, way more appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like doing the weirder stuff, the better. But you're like a leading man type. I could see you're going to be in a lot of movies, I feel like, especially after people see this. You're literally the lead in the movie.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
And this is the movie The Bellman.
Yeah.
The Bellman.
And now, I looked on your IMDb page, Thomas Lennon, and you have 146 acting credits.
That's a lot.
Jesus.
Where on this does The Bellman rank?
Well, it's number one. Because we wrapped 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yes.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Actually. I mean, like, I can't wait to see it. I know you're going to see it soon.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it next week. But it was a really, really funny, crazy movie that...
You crushed it so hard, dude. Like, I can't... I mean, we were laughing so...
Group.
I feel like that is... And for the amount of things I've done, you can probably attest to this more. If you are laughing and having a good time, but everyone's, like, still locked in, and it's not just, like, laughing because you're making each other laugh, but it's all in context, and it's...
Oh, no, it wasn't like a... Yeah, it wasn't like a goofy vibe. It was like everybody was very focused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and, like, Jonathan Kite's crazy. Like, he's amazing.
Right?
Yeah, crazy.
And it's Willie, really, and yeah. How does something like that, you know, like, do you get to a certain point where you're just like, I'm looking for something like this that is
different?
Well,
these are the most fun movies to make, I think, are movies like this, which are like a low-budget movie with an amazing cast. And there's a weird little detail, but when you are staying in the place that you're filming.
Yeah.
I did a movie that was a huge flop, but was fun, called Pottersville, 2 years ago. And we all lived in this little inn in like upstate New York. And it snowed like 3 feet while we were making the movie. And had a bar. And everybody's just like, you're sort of always.
Yeah. It was like camp.
Fun. Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah.
So Bellman is a crazy. I mean, there's weird stuff in Bellman.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird movie.
And then you talked about how they didn't give you much about your character. They just kind of let you roll with it. How do you, because like, you're the guy.
I had no plan like the night before. I was having dinner with the director and I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What
I don't even have lines yet, man. He's like, we'll figure it out.
I'm doing.
Yeah.
And like your characters are always so memorable. I know I kind of joked back to your character on Friends, but it was a very popular character.
Joey's hand twin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randall, whose name is Randall, by the way.
Do you still remember the song?
Oh, yeah. It's public domain, so we can sing.
This hand is your hand. This hand is my hand.
No, wait,
that's your hand. Oh, yes, that's my hand. Yeah. How did I know that?
Fan of
By the
comedy.
Way, every time that's on the air, I get $8.
Woo! Yeah.
Shit, mazel tov.
That's like every day.
It goes down quite a bit, actually, after the first. The first run was $8, right. And it's like $6.50.
Nine-tenths of a cent.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a $15 residual check for According to Jim from 2007.
Nice.
So you're welcome for the wine.
Yeah.
Did he go around peeing in water bottles on that set? Was that what I heard?
Did he go what?
Somebody said he used to just pee anywhere he was randomly in like a bottle and just leave it. Hey, I'm just telling you what I heard.
It doesn't surprise.
You know what? If it's not true, call me right now.
Adam, that wasn't
lemonade.
You had
your lemonade.
Chance, Belushi. You had your chance. Call me right now.
He said that was really new lemonade. Why would he say really new?
That's
pitch?
Very specific.
It's very fresh.
Very specific.
Did you, for Lieutenant Dangle, how much when you, well, is this
That was an interesting show because there was not a lot of plan that went into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did The State. We did a show called Viva Variety for a little while. Mm-hmm. We did a pilot of a show called Hey Neighbor.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It might be online. Maybe you could see it. It's like a sitcom, but the whole town is just played by like four people. So it's kind of like Little Britain meets a sitcom.
Oh, so you see like the same actor
pop
up in
like
different roles.
Jack Plotnick, Michaeline Black, Ben Grant, me, Kerry Kenny.
That's insane, by the way, I mean, you probably are just like, well, we're all buddies and this is...
I look at it now and it's a little crazy for like broadcast TV at the time. It was a little weird.
But no,
like,
but I'm saying now, the collection of talent.
Oh, no, it was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That if you put that on like Adult Swim now, it'd be huge.
It was really fun. And then we did that show, Hey Neighbor, did not go. And then we got hired by Fox to do a sketch comedy show. Mm-hmm. And so that was really exciting. Ben and I, during The State, wrote a lot.
Yeah.
Ben's the most prolific writer of The State. And then I was in the top probably couple of them. But
does it kind of have to, when do you just figure out amongst the group of like, okay, these are the kind of, everyone's getting the roles.
Oh, well, that was the cutthroat level of The State, which is if you wrote something, you cast it. So that's why.
Well, that's right. You were telling
it
me
was
this on
ruthless.
Yeah,
yeah.
The State was so rough, and a great bit that people used to do in The State. I know Showalter did this to me sometimes, and I did other people sometimes, which is if you knew somebody didn't like your sketch, you'd give them a really good part in it.
Yeah.
Just so like, it was like propaganda.
Wow. Yeah, they had to be
like.
Yeah, they had to
like. There was a Showalter sketch that he did for CBS called Manziels, which is just dudes with antlers and white underwear that are like out in a field. And it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
How much pot did he smoke before you wrote that?
There was a lot of drugs in The State.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he knew I didn't like the sketch.
Yeah.
So he gave me like the role of like the Richard Attenborough narrator who's in like the whole thing.
That's amazing.
And I was like, you fucker.
Yeah. I have to crush this.
You won me over to Manziels and now it's going to make the air. But so...
So Fox goes, all
right. Fox goes right... Do
you're getting
show.
Popular. So after The State, I mean, that was...
No, The State was weird because we quit MTV. They didn't fire us.
This is
really? Yeah, it's a big thing that a lot of people don't know. But we, through some weird suggestions of our management, and being just dumb assholes.
Young and naive,
We were so young and so dumb. Mm-hmm. And we were offered three specials on CBS.
Oh, my God.
Is what we were offered.
Yeah.
So...
You guys were hot shit, by the way. That was like...
We were actually doing really well on MTV. Better than I, like... Like, if we had a show on MTV doing that now, we'd be famous. But this is when MTV just barely had shows.
What other shows were on at this time?
You know, it was like us and then like Anne Flux and Beavis and Butthead.
Okay, so
and,
this is back.
And Singled Out, probably.
Yeah, so they were like just starting to... Yeah,
it was unbelievable. By the way, somebody should make a movie about the MTV Christmas party every year.
Please.
One of them was at the Tunnel.
What?
They were like the most debauched thing I've ever been to in my entire... They were just literally like Caligula. It was insane. It was just like the early 90s.
Jay McCarthy, Carmen Electra hanging out.
Stuff was just happening.
Yeah.
There was like trampolines and just...
Why not?
And
nobody questioned anything. It was just like, yeah, dude.
No, it was the MTV Christmas party.
Yeah.
It was... They were nuts.
That's like the line that people would say to justify any behavior.
It was the MTV Christmas party.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy's fucking that reindeer.
Dude, it's the MTV Christmas party. Christmas party, man. And it's not a reindeer. It's three guys in a suit.
And you're one of them, dude. You're in the suit. Come on. Why are you so surprised? You put that suit on, man.
Let's see. State. Mm-hmm. And then we did...
So you guys Viva, quit. You said variety. You quit. Yeah.
Oh, we quit. We didn't. We quit to go to CBS to do three specials. CBS, of course, canceled us after one.
Sure.
Why? And they just never knew what to do with us. They didn't want it. They never really wanted us anyway. And they're like, it was like a weird experiment. They're just like, let's see if Saturday night kids will watch.
Right.
Young cool kids. And the answer was they did not.
Why?
We set epic like record low ratings for CBS at the time. So what we'd been offered basically. I forget what it was. It was like 65 more episodes on the air at MTV. Mm-hmm. But since we were such assholes, we were like, fuck you, MTV. We're going to CBS and we're going to live forever.
Nope.
Canceled.
Yeah.
You know, immediately. Then we did Viva Variety. Then we came out here during Viva Variety. When Viva got canceled, we did Hey Neighbor, the one where we liked the Little Britain show. Mm-hmm. Then we were doing the sketch show. And in the sketch show, we cast Niecy Nash, Cedric Yarbrough, Carlos Ellis-Rocky, Carrie, Ben, me. So it was basically everybody except Wendy, who wasn't in yet, of Reno 911. Ben and I wrote 90 sketches and great stuff, stuff we were really proud of. Brought the cast in, did a table read for Fox. And the president of Fox was like, amazing, so funny, you guys. I have no reason to do a sketch show whatsoever. People don't tune into them. They have no hook, and you're all too old. And at the time, I was 29.
What?
Yeah.
Was this pre-Mad TV?
This was... Mad TV was already on and had still been running for a long time.
Okay, but so this would be like...
They just didn't want another... Yeah.
Okay.
So we basically were told, you can just take the rest of your money and go home.
Jeez.
And we're like, oh, that stings.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want us to do anything for you?
They didn't let you shoot anything to even see.
No. They're like, you don't have to do anything. You can just go.
Do you try to, I mean, fight at this point? Are you like, hey, come on, this is really funny shit. Like, this is...
Well, we tried right at the thing. We were like, yeah, it's really funny. But then we were like, wow, we're too old, too. That really sucks. By the way, this is 20, almost 20 years ago now.
That's insane.
So like a day passed, and we had the whole crew. We had a DP. We had Beth McCarthy Miller, who was supposed to direct it. And I was at home, and... was watching Fox, which is what we were working for, and Cops came on, and we were supposed to have a Saturday night show on Fox. And I was like, well, fuck it. What if we just did a spoof of Cops as a companion piece to Cops?
Because like clearly Cops is killing it.
Yeah. And spoof Cops, because that was their big Saturday night earlier show.
Sure.
And so we called them up, and we're like, hey, what if we did like a spoof show of your other show? And they're like, you can do that. You can. That's unlikely that we'll do like a spoof of one of our main shows.
Make fun of our.
We're gonna make fun of the other show that is on right before
you. Had a Kardashian like spoof show, right?
Spoof.
Yeah.
And they were like, you can try if you want because you already have the budget. And it literally makes no difference. The money's already spent. So we brought in the cast and we're like, hey, like everybody pick out a cop outfit. We're gonna start improvising tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the idea of that was also like Little Britain. So we were cops and the perps. We were everybody in the whole town. So we'd pixelate our faces and stuff.
Yeah.
But like the pilot had me and Carrie were naked fighting over, it was just stupid over Scrabble. It had Niecy as that character TT she would play with the pendulous boobs.
pendulous.
It was all just us and us like everywhere. And then,
do you know as you're making that you're,
that I it mean, felt funny?
Yeah.
It felt funny.
Mm-hmm.
And,
because it was really, you didn't have a huge layout of what you knew the world.
It was like
a
little sketch show, and it ended up getting right down to the wire at Fox. It was like really close. Apparently, they have back in the day, I guess, they used to have all the assistants would do what they think the lineup should be
right.
based off pilots, and then all the executives do their own board. But they compare them. to see like what do the kids think. And Reno 911 was on all the like the younger people's boards.
Holy shit.
But we did not get picked up. It sat for 3 years. And then
do you think it's just not that's a long time to just
and then Comedy Central picked it up. But they picked it up like literally they saw the 3-year-old tape from Fox and we're like, "Oh great. Just do that."
What are you what are you doing during that 3 years?
Yeah. During that 3 years we did a bunch of other failures too. We wrote a show for FX called Formosa.
Okay.
Which was about sort of like the early days of
based
like,
on the street in LA?
Based on the bar.
Yeah. For real?
Yeah.
Wow.
The it was sort of like a murder mystery set in the world of people making stag films way back in the 30s.
It's got that vibe to it.
Yeah.
That bar's been there forever, right?
It is, and it's actually I think it's closed now. The Formosa finally like went under, which is a real shame.
They had some even stand-up shows on the roof towards the
end. If that's
which
not
was
a historic landmark in LA, I really don't know what
is.
And that sucks. And then we did a show about it. We wrote pilot after pilot after pilot.
Yeah.
All of which failed. We wrote one about a vet's office called Archer DVM, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. This is pre the cartoon Archer.
Right.
We just toiled endlessly and pointlessly, and we wrote a lot of movies, some of which got made, some of which sucked, some of which came out.
And I was telling Adam before you got here, I have probably read 2 books in the last 5 years, and yours was one of them.
Mm. The writing movies for Fun and Profit.
Fun and Profit.
Fun crossed out.
And you can tell that I followed it because I'm now a billionaire.
We'll see. Give it a second.
But
the structure stuff's all there.
But it is an amazing book if
Thank
you're
you very much.
It, because more so than hey, this is how you write, this is writing style.
Oh yeah,
you, in no that
gonna,
book,
nobody's
you're
gonna
like,
teach you how to write. Like write. If you don't like writing,
yeah.
I mean the creative part. Nobody's gonna teach you. I mean, I could tell you should write for 3 or 4 hours a day, but if you're not going to do that, you're just not going to do that. You know, a lot of people won't do that. I'd write, even if I wasn't doing anything, I would just start writing. It's like a compulsion.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, so you just have...
Like crazy.
Is it because you have so many ideas constantly, or you're like trying to force yourself to create some habits?
No, it's like a straight up compulsion.
Wow.
Like, I just...
Right.
It makes me happy.
Did you always feel like you were, when you were just accessing that muscle, that you were good at it? Or were you like, I'm just going to get better from...
Well, I never had any intention of being a writer in any way.
Wow.
And then I was brought into the state.
Mm-hmm.
The state was actually existed for a year before I came into it. The state formed as the new group in 1988.
Right.
And I joined in like fall of 89.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned like 2 days in was like, oh, if you don't write, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody, there's also like Showalter's a great writer, David Wayne's a great writer, like there's Ken Marino's a great writer. It's just the room is really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
It's fight or flight.
Yeah. And Ben Grant could write 3 sketches a day. He would come in with 3 sketches a day, of which 2 of which were like really good. And the other one was interesting, at least. You know, it was never like a wash.
The other one was people in the woods in their underwear with elk horns on.
And that was, Was
it supportive, though, or was it competitive?
Very competitive.
So you couldn't be like, hey, man, could I get some help with this one? Or you just go...
No, we would help each other out sometimes. And we would certainly form alliances and write stuff together.
Yeah.
Like Michael Ian Black and I wrote The Pudding Guys, obviously, together.
Unbelievable.
And it was would form strange alliances. It was interesting because different people, you write different kinds of stuff for people.
Yeah. But, and the thing that you really go into in the book is like you talk about how to pitch.
Oh, yeah, very specifically.
Which is like, I don't know if that's in any other book. I'm sure it is, but like not that I've found. Like people that go into, this is what you do in those meetings.
Well, there's a book called Here's How You Pitch from Tony Danza where he just goes, you walk in, you show old clips from Who's the Boss, you show a headshot of Jonathan from 1994.
Are we going? It's a go. Rubber stamp into the gummy bears. We do it. Mazel.
Yeah. How essential is the pitch part versus the writing part?
It's more.
They're hand in hand. It's
it's way more. It depends. In the studio system, it's been a big deal for us to be good at pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing about the state was, so I don't know how we came up with the system, but generally when we were in our writing phases, every day we'd meet at 3:00 and you'd pitch. And that was the last thing we did of the day. Mm-hmm. And nobody usually go till, you know, it'd be like an hour or so. Sometimes people didn't have anything,
mm-hmm.
but there was generally a little bit of shame if you had nothing to pitch on the day. It was like show and tell, and you forgot your, you know, like, it was just like not great.
Yeah. By the way, you just brought up some fucking... Yeah. I definitely remember not bringing something to show and tell and just not that going feeling. Up or That's scrambling like. And being like, I got this pencil that I use every day. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's a sock. No, you had that on. But so every day at 3, we would pitch. You know, like Ben would have 3 sketches and I would have a sketch. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting is we didn't realize that we were... It was basically the perfect training for the movie business because we'd sit in an office in the afternoon and you'd have your stuff and you'd pitch it to people who were like...
Yeah, just stone-faced.
Yeah, because they wanted to get their stuff in.
Right.
And if your stuff got in...
That means their stuff didn't.
I mean, people would... we laughed. We were supportive to a certain extent. But we were also really hard on each other. Sure. And, like, people would, like, cry in pitch meetings. People would tear shit up.
Fuck.
People... The state was passionate. There were chairs thrown. There were 2 punches thrown in the state.
Wow.
History. David Wayne threw one. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the other one.
We'll find out after the break.
Next podcast. But no, we were an angry...
You need that though, right?
We were an angry young group, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and looking back, how incredible is it that you had that kind of like, that push and pull?
Because
there's groups out there probably now that don't do that to each other.
I respect how hard we were on each other. Yeah. I think it was really great that we were really hard on each other. It wasn't great necessarily on our mental health at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But...
Who needs that?
If you look at... Like, I've watched episodes of The State, mm-hmm. and I basically find them, for the most part, pretty funny right now.
Yeah.
You know? Fuck yeah,
they
the
still hold up.
Part,
holds up.
There's some real... There's a couple of turds in the...
Sure.
In the diamonds.
Yeah, but how many sketches did you... I mean...
We did... Of The State, I think there's only... There's like 29 episodes of The State. Something like that. 26 episodes
of The State. That's a lot of sketches.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Are you a man? Are you a woman? Are you transitioning? It doesn't fucking matter. You probably got a wallet with a bunch of bullshit in your pants, all right? Wallets, we all have them. You carry them around with so much pointless crap, receipts, hotel keys, gift cards that have expired, condoms that have expired or are about to. The Ridge Wallet is a new sponsor of the ALN podcast, and we couldn't be more fucking pumped. It's a sleek-ass wallet with 2 metal plates that are bound together by a durable elastic band. It looks nothing like a traditional wallet. It's titanium, carbon fiber, and aluminum, and that ensures that there's an option for everyone. You know what I'm saying? It's a front pocket wallet, okay? Don't put it in the back. You don't want to get it jacked. You put it in your front pocket, and it's designed so that you can ditch your bulky-ass wallet, which is what I've been fucking with for years. I got so much stuff in my wallet, and it sucks in the front and the back. It screws up my posture. When I sit on it, it feels weird. The Ridge Wallet is a slim RFID-blocking and lifetime-guaranteed wallet, and trust me, it's the last one you're ever going to get. I got it. I fucking love it. It comes in titanium, carbon fiber, aluminum, and polycarbonate, and over a dozen different styles and colors. So you can find the wallet that best fits your life and your style. Ridge Wallet, you know how it started? It started by a father-son team and got funded on Kickstarter in 2013, and it now resides in the pockets of, swear to God, over 250,000 people. That's bonkers. You got to get this wallet if you want to just be more responsible and organized. That was the biggest thing for me, is I had too much crap and I was losing stuff. And now I don't with the Ridge Wallet. If you want a Ridge Wallet, and I think you should get one, if you have stuff and money and condoms, go to www.ridgewallet.com/ABL. That's ABL. And use promo code ABL10 for 10% off your order right now. Go to www.ridgewallet.com/ABL, promo code ABL10, and get 10% off your order right now on your Ridge Wallet. You got stuff and it needs a home. Put it in a Ridge Wallet, baby. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
And then, so, like, do you sit down, have you gotten to the point now where, like, someone comes to you and says, hey, we want you to write the Baywatch movie, or do you think to yourself, I'm going to write a Baywatch movie?
Well, that's interesting, because I wrote, when we were doing The State, I wrote a sketch about Baywatch.
Yeah.
That our producer, Jim Sharp, once the sketches got through the pitch phase, they'd go to our producer, Jim, who was basically functioned as sort of like the George Martin of the group. He was the, you know, the other, you know, he would like sort of curate stuff and make it make sense. And I remember he handed me, I got back my Baywatch sketch that I had written.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it said like, you can do better.
And I did do better. Yeah, I wrote the fucking movie.
But he was right.
Not enough Efron in this sketch.
The sketch wasn't good. Mm-hmm. But Baywatch, it was interesting. and this is the best advice I could give to any people that want to write studio movies right now these days.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily always looking for like a brand new movie that you just thought up in your head that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Studios have bought every book that exists.
Yeah.
They own the rights to every video game that exists. They have just consumed the rights to everything all the time.
Yeah.
And they've got to get some of the shit off their books.
Right.
So a lot of what we do in the movie business these days is we'll go in and be like, what problems do you need fixed?
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to come in and pitch you like a brand new idea because you've got so many fires that need to be put out over there.
Yeah.
You won't even listen to what I'm pitching you.
Yeah, for instance, that's why Sony kept re-releasing new Spider-Man movies, because they had to.
So they don't lose the rights?
Yes. So they didn't lose the rights.
And the last one was amazing. So, great. Yeah. But, so we went in, like, for example, we went into the head of Paramount's office, and we were meeting about something else completely, but on a 3x5 card, like, moved way down off the wall of things that were coming out or mm-hmm. in production, was upside down, almost in the garbage can, was Baywatch. And we were like, how do you fuck up a Baywatch movie? That's like so... I haven't actually seen it, so maybe they did. I don't know.
No, but very funny.
Is it funny?
Yeah.
Okay. We're like, that seems doable. And he's like, do you guys want to write the Baywatch movie? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We're like, it's easy. It's like Jean Valjean in a swimsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Half the movie's in slow motion.
Yeah.
Fucking do it.
Yeah.
That's no problem. We just go. And then we wrote it for a long time. And they got fired.
Do you write it?
Get fired off everything too.
You know? Do you write it with the like you have casting in your head when you're doing it?
We did.
Yeah,
we did.
That helps when you're writing anything. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. We always cast everything just so you can hear what they sound.
Yeah.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. especially when you're writing with a partner, you have to know everybody's voice.
So you heard Lindsay Lohan's voice when you wrote Herbie Fully Loaded.
It sounded like this.
Did it?
It sounded just like this. She's like, I am going to find as many.
I think you found your Halloween costume.
I'm finding some refugees.
That
is it, by the way.
Please tell me you saw that video.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Refugee family.
Yes.
Cell phone.
Yes.
Are we doing it? It's a great idea. This is a great Halloween costume. You just need some for refugees, right?
Yeah.
And then it's Lindsay Lohan.
Poor thing.
She crushed that movie.
She crushed every movie she was in for a long time.
You're great in that. How is acting with Keaton?
I always forget that I was in that.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any scenes with him.
Oh, no.
Most of my scenes are with Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But he's great in that movie. He's like, because you're like your mother. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's really good.
Was that a pretty... Because that was Disney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a big fucking...
We got fired off that one, too.
What?
We get fired off every movie.
But how?
And then, if you write movies, you're going to get fired.
Like, and then at one point, Lindsay puts a dick in the gummy bear. It's like, dude, that's not even a thing you've said yet. Like, we don't understand the callback.
That actually was in the first cut.
But the car did it. That's why it was weird.
We got a big fight with the producer of that movie because in one draft she was like, great. And then Herbie smiles. And then he goes, beep, beep. And he smiles and he goes, beep, beep. And then he like backs out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, how does he smile? Like, because Herbie just, usually he just blinks his lights. And
yeah, goes, or like, beep, beep. Maybe the hood pops.
The door pops open and the hood pops.
Yeah.
But he doesn't go like,
iron why doesn't so bend.
Serious.
Like, we're like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And why, this how is would
a
he do that?
Yeah, this is a car that comes to life movie, and we're telling you
well,
that.
Now it's getting fucking scary.
Yeah.
So we're like, no, we're not going to make him smile, I don't think. She's like, no, you're making him smile. He should smile. We're like, I don't understand how that works.
God.
Right. That's so scary. So we didn't make him smile, and then we. Got immediately fired, and we found out we're like, oh yeah, can you guys send in a final draft copy of the script because you're off the project now.
What the f?
Wow. And then not only that, he's smiling in the poster. If you look at the poster of Herbie Fully Loaded, it's like Lindsay Lohan over here and Herbie going,
final, sorry Tom,
final fuck you to you.
Haunt your dreams.
Now that you have to honor, I guess some of like that to me is the most bewildering process of. Yeah. Where you're at with writing. It's like dealing with, right, like allowing them to be a part of the process. And
it's tough. It's tough. You know, writing studio movies, you really, I'm going for the Capri Sun now, just for the hydration.
Do it.
Mm. How is it?
Oh, God.
Okay. After, are they a sponsor also?
No.
After half a glass of red wine, Capri Sun strawberry kiwi tastes exactly like the meat of a goat. Just goat meat that's coming at you.
It's actually goat meat. I put it in the back. You're chasing Capri Sun with wine just to get the goat flavor out.
You can do it again.
Welcome back to America's favorite game show.
You know when you walk
Capri
by
like, Sun or big, goat meat?
A big huge shawarma thing and they're just sawing off. That's exactly.
You're sipping that. Wow. Oh, God.
Savory Capri Sun. Oh, who knew?
That's terrible after this. Kids don't mix that shit.
Kids. Oh. Yeah. Wait, so Illinois growing up, do you what your comedy, we talked about this a little bit on set, but is that, you feel like that...
Well, there was a neat thing in Chicago,
yeah.
Which was you could go for free on Friday nights at Second City. Mm-hmm. They would do like the normal show, and then at 11, they would just improvise. And I would hang out there. One thing I loved is sit because you could smoke in Second City when I was a teenager.
Whoa.
I was a heavy smoker. So you could smoke. Can you imagine smoking in a theater?
No.
That's what we did. We sat in the back of the Second City and we'd smoke and we saw Chris Farley and Steve Carell.
Holy shit.
And a lot of really great people. So,
yeah.
And you were.
I would smoke at them. Like, this guy's amazing.
What, yeah, well, you just get inspired and motivated by watching those guys.
Yeah, but I was, you know, when I went to New York, when I went to NYU, I was 18, and I mostly wanted to be like a serious actor.
Yeah.
I kind of fancied myself like as like a Hamlet type.
Well, you've been in a Batman movie. That's cool.
I was in two Christopher Nolan movies.
Well, what was the second one?
Memento.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a joke. The reason I'm in Dark Knight Rises is because it's a reference to just Memento.
Really?
I'm the doctor in Memento also. So it's like a little inside joke.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
It's a cool inside joke, what isn't it?
Cool inside joke.
I know. It's
yeah.
like my favorite kind of inside joke.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It involves me going to London for 5 days.
Yeah.
Get it?
Doing a scene with Christian Bale. I'm like, oh, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Getting paid.
I get it. Yeah. No, you don't get paid anything for doing that. But they do fly you to London real nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that does speak to your, like, commitment level. Like, that's the one thing I noticed, like, obviously, like, in watching all your work, but, like, to get to act opposite you in that first scene, I was just like, oh, this guy's just dialed in with everything. And you're also, and it was a fun dynamic to get to figure out, like, all right, how much can I... Is he going to want to play, and how much do I want to, like...
You made me fucking laugh out loud a bunch of times on that thing.
But it took a minute of, like, trying to figure out, like...
Oh, I forgot that at one point I accused you of murder. I have nowhere else to go. I had nowhere else to go in a scene.
Oh, shit, and it was so real. Like, and we stayed in it, though, and I was just like... Oh, my God.
It was really good.
This is, like, in a big, like, epic, you know, climactic...
Really, you know what? The thing
but you're so locked in. It's like, so that must come from your, like... Did you get enough experience of wanting to be, like... A serious actor to where you're like, oh, even in comedy, like, commitment is everything.
Well, that's basically, it is. And also, I don't really change my performance if I'm doing a drama or a comedy. It's always, to me, the same thing.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I realized just about doing movies, and it's always interesting because I came into your movie, you'd been there for a while doing the movie.
Yeah, 6 years. This movie has taken...
Has it really?
It's aged him.
It was...
He started this when he was 14.
But it's like the
secret. It's called the bellboy.
Seems to be like basically what acting really is when everybody around you is pretty stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a scene that was basically just sort of like they're like, look, we're gonna light it, and it's two takes. And that is the great joy when you can get like. It's just being able to relax when everything's stressful,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's running and gunning, and you know it's expensive, and everything's burning, and just being able to just like, kind of, take a second, and be like, you said I don't want to say spoilers because I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah.
You said some of the funniest shit I've ever said. Every time I would say something, he was like, I've never met you before in my life. I'm like, dude, you kissed me 10 seconds after meeting me.
Yeah,
which I did. I just came up.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was
do you get this amount of freedom like on the set of like I don't know Night at Museum or Lethal Weapon, like is there a same similar
Lethal Weapon's been very friendly to me in terms of me goofing around. I basically said to them if I was going to come in and play a character that iconic, I mean it's what you can't
you're playing the Joe Pesci role,
you can't
right
stand, I mean this is the biggest, it's a long shadow to stand in.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just have to do something different and I have to be super weird,
right,
and you just have to say that's okay.
Yeah.
And they always have. Matt Miller's been really cool, and he's always just like, let me... The very first episode, when I saw it, I knew things were going to go well, because I look at Damon Wayans, and I'm standing by one of those automatic coffee machines, and I look right at him, and I push the buttons really angry, and I just said, black and creamy. which is like not a coffee order.
Yeah, right.
But then they left it in the show. And I was like, oh, okay. Those are the shows they get whatever I'm doing.
Oh, man. Weird. That has to make you feel pretty good where they're just going to be like, oh, okay, I could try some weird stuff. I don't have to be.
They've been very friendly about that. That's a weird show. I don't know. It seems like everyone quits. Yeah. It's fine.
You played two iconic characters that, at least two that I could think of, that were already done in terms of you have the Joe Pesci character and then when you were in The Odd Couple.
That was intense. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you play a character when you know it's been that defined? Like, there's that one
really was much harder. The Felix Unger thing, because I was actually also the fifth Felix Unger. There were many.
Get out.
Yeah, because it goes. I mean,
Antonio Banderas turned it down.
Antonio Banderas.
He had to. He was doing right Puss in Boots 9.
He was literally coming out of the room when I went in.
Antonio!
He said, buena suerte. They like me, but they do not love me. They like me.
They like That's me. Amazing. All right, I'm now torn between you going as Banderas or Lohan for Halloween. Or maybe it's Banderas going as Lohan for Halloween.
I got the emo grins. I'm going to get them. Austin 3.
Rest in peace, John McCain. Get well. Remember that?
No, was that one?
Oh, she posted
Wait,
a
rest
selfie.
Rest in peace, get well?
She put, rest in peace, John McCain.
Get well
soon. She posted it and somebody put, I think someone needs to tell Lindsay Lohan the definition of rest in peace. Oh, shit. Yeah, man. Oh. And the picture was like, when those things are accompanied with a picture of you being like, I nailed it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Straight from Mykonos, baby.
Mykonos. I saw her Mykonos dance.
Yeah.
John McCain is now going to be in the next Herbie Loaded. Herbie Fully Loaded movie. He's the car.
She's a great actress.
Yeah.
All she needs is like...
less coke.
Somebody there.
Or more.
You just need a... you need a Colonel Tom Parker who's just like, here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the boss for a little while.
Yeah. And you're not going to like it.
You're not going
to
like it.
And you're going to listen to it.
You're not going
to
like it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you what to do.
Hollywood loves a comeback, don't they?
So you got to come back at some point.
What's her comeback? I mean, shit, man. Maybe, like, I feel like if she had done this, A Star Is Born, which is getting a lot of...
I loved it.
You saw it?
I saw it, like, opening night.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. Do you like that?
I like Lady Gaga more than you might think.
Yeah. You seem like a Lady Gaga kind of guy.
Because I was going into this interview being like...
Because I said, let's put our wangs in the gummy bears.
I mean, that's...
okay.
That seems like...
that's a Gaga fan move.
She would walk...
that's a little monstrous.
She would walk a red carpet holding a gummy bear bowl with just wangs all in it. Be like, what?
Would.
This is designer.
Mm-hmm. How often do you go to see movies opening night?
Almost never. Never.
That's exciting. That's got to be a big deal.
This was great. A friend of ours was like, let's go see A Star Is Born. And I was like, fuck it, I haven't been to a movie in like a year. But we went, and it was really fun.
Awesome,
Bradley
man.
Cooper's great. He plays beautifully, plays guitar in that movie.
Damn,
his guitar
for real?
Chops in that movie are sick.
Did he learn it?
Yeah. No. He clearly did not learn for that movie. He had obviously has been playing for a long time.
Oh, okay, damn. but it's actually
great.
Him.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it literally just pans from his face to his hands, and he's crazy and shredding, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, you're, it's
very impressive. Because
you play guitar.
I'm in a Smith's cover band.
Yes, exactly.
Center Hooligans. I gotta come fucking see that show.
And
you would like it.
Yeah,
it's
you
fun.
And you recently sang with the Aquabats?
I did two songs as Lieutenant Dangle with the Aquabats, which was weird.
My God.
Well, I went to the sound check.
Because I used to go see the Aquabats when
they're
I was
a lot
in
of fun.
Junior
yeah.
high.
Yeah.
And they're still around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So I did the sound check, just sang the songs. And then they're all in the outfits, and it's really weird. And there's a guy dressed up as a clown, and Weird Al was there, too. So I was like,
okay,
I have the outfit.
Merry fuck kill.
Yeah, I know.
And if you don't marry Weird Al, you're just stupid. Mm-hmm.
I gave That's Weird Al his... Like, well, I gave one of the speeches at his star ceremony.
Yeah, you and you Dr. Demento.
It was...
You're friends with Weird Al.
Insane. We're very close.
It's on your Wikipedia page.
Someone
friends
added that, which I thought was weird. I guess it was...
should be your opening credit.
after I gave him his star on the Walk of Fame, someone added that to my Wikipedia. Yeah. But it's just a strange detail. They're like, he is friends with Weird Al.
Well, on my Wikipedia page, it says friends with a guy who's friends with Weird Al.
There you go.
And that...
By the way, we could add that... it's literally... it's legally true.
How do you spend your free time?
Well,
you don't have much.
I don't have very much. Yeah. So I wrote a novel this year.
Yep.
That comes out. I'm just going to plug it.
Yes.
It comes out March 5th. It's called Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles. And it's like a funny, in the the style of like a Douglas Adams novel, maybe. He's my hero.
That's way smart terms. I don't know what that
Douglas Adams wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, goofy. Okay. So like goofy sci-fi.
Yeah.
But
how do you get the chutzpah to want to write a novel?
That was a weird one. I had wanted to write a novel for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I kept wondering when I would have an idea that was worthy of it. And then I didn't for like a quarter century. You just don't have a good idea. Or sure. I didn't feel like I did.
What needs to...
It didn't stop me from writing movies, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Because I did that with no ideas at all.
It's a different world though, right?
Yeah. Sure. It was a very different world. Yeah, and a book is like forever, and it's like, you know, the book is just my thing. It's like, if you don't like it, you probably don't like me.
Great title for a book, by the way.
If you don't like it, you do not like me. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
It's, so I was in Ireland about 2 years ago.
One of my favorite places in the world.
A great place.
Yeah.
Also to really kind of feel like you're not on the grid anymore because there's not much going on.
Nope.
More sheep than people.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Wicklow Mountains?
I have been to the Wicklow Mountains, but not on this last trip, but cool. I have been.
Yeah.
Have you been to Killarney?
No.
Oh, Killarney's one of the prettiest places in the world.
I think you have to say that in an Irish accent.
Killarney.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Killarney. I'm sure you've been to Killarney.
You said you're Irish.
I am.
So is that extra special to be there?
It's nice, yeah. We've been a bunch of times. My grandparents are from there.
That's awesome.
And they moved to Chicago when they came to Chicago, you know.
So the world of Ireland inspired.
I was staying in this old castle that we were staying in for a little bit.
Like you do.
Like you do. And the guy was pointing the wall, and there's this huge, huge, like, wooden club on the wall that looks like, I mean, honestly, it could kill anybody. It was humongous. And he's like, you know what that is? And I was like, it's a club. He's like, that's a shillelagh. And I was like, really? I thought a shillelagh was like a walking stick. And he's like, no, shillelaghs are for when Catholics couldn't carry metal weapons. You'd have a wooden thing to fight with. So it was this huge thing that you could basically kill somebody with.
Yeah.
That's wood. And I was like, oh. And then right as he said that, I basically had the whole idea of the first book came to me. Oh, this happens to you sometimes where a whole idea will come to you sort of fully formed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A full joke or something will just kind of write down the whole paragraph.
Yeah. The whole thing will just come to you. And so
why is that? That's insane.
It's weird. And then also, then it won't happen again for a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, that's the first half, and I'm going to write
and
the second half.
And now one more of those.
10 years.
I'd like one more of those right now.
Yeah. No.
Anytime. And go.
Is that how it works?
I'm going to just stand here. I'm going to put my wang in the gummy worm.
Doesn't work.
Are you excited for it to come out?
I'm really, really excited. And
like, what's the excitement level versus a movie you're in or a movie you've written?
Well, that depends. Movies I've written, you often don't see them till like the very last minute.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because usually we've been fired off the movie. Baywatch, I've never seen Baywatch.
Wow.
There's a couple of movies we've written or have credits on that I've probably never seen. There's one movie I'm in that I've never seen, which is Boat Trip. I've never seen it. I have one scene in Boat Trip.
I've never seen the American cinematic classic
Boat Trip. Cuba. Horatio.
Unbelievable. Great cast.
Gay Cruise. Roger Moore.
Yeah.
It's my only credit with Roger Moore.
I mean, Accidental Gay Cruise, very forward thinking for the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like we make that now.
Right.
Hit. With Sandler and any of Sandler's buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzen's the fucking best. I love that weirdo.
Like his character.
Yeah, you guys just.
Woo!
That's the mate. I'm
trying to remember how did Nick Schwarzen start doing Terry? I think he just came in and we're like, hey, Nick. And he's like, what? He's like, what if I just have roller skates and I'm like a guy? And we're like, all right. So like, I'm just in Terry cloth shorts and my name's Terry also. And I'm just like I'm roller skating behind the taco place. And we're like, okay, cool. And then we'd shoot 8.
Yeah.
And we'd use 8 because they were always great.
Oh, God. Dude. There was that one where you guys came up and he was fake mime blowjobbing, and then you're like.
No, it's to put an orange on their lap.
Yeah. Or he's like, I'm playing a flute, and does the flute have balls, Terry?
Yeah.
And then you're like,
a hand job doesn't come with fries and a drink. Yeah.
And he's like,
the most quotable.
I'm waiting for my girlfriend, see me, the S E E E, the J is silent.
Applegate.
Unbelievable.
Do you know how we did that scene? That was really great. We had Christina Applegate was around the corner in a car ready to pull into the scene. And she had headphones on so she could hear all the shit he was saying.
Yeah.
So everything that he said, he was making up about her.
Yeah.
But she could hear it. So she pulled up and she's like, hi, I'm Terry's girlfriend. See me. S-E-E-E.
The J is silent.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
So you, nobody had any idea that was about to happen.
Oh, that's well, so... I think we maybe shot it once or maybe only twice. But
how do you keep that
Christina
together?
Was just listening.
Yeah.
So she'd be ready to come in and verify everything that he said, which he made up every time, which was super fun.
Yeah,
so we used to do that a lot on Reno, where we'd just be like waiting.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, let's see what they say.
Yeah.
No. Don't go in yet.
Yeah.
No, go on now.
Oh, whatever. That's so fun.
Yeah. That was a fun way.
You guys got so many great people on the, I mean, it became
a great, great show.
By the end of it, it seems like any co-star you could have gotten.
Everybody, people generally, when we asked, they were like, yeah, sure.
Is there talks of, I mean, you probably.
Oh, it's very likely that we'll do some more at some point.
Yes. Because you guys had the movie.
We did the movie, which was weirdly neither a hit nor a flop. It was in that weird strike zone. It opened as a solid number two.
Cool. Yeah.
To Ghost Rider. Here's something I learned, though, by the way.
don't follow Cage.
Don't be the R-rated movie opening next to a PG-13
superhero film.
Superhero movie.
Starring Nick Cage.
Well, by the way, because like kids would come up to us on the street and be like, I loved Reno 911. We're like, cool, what'd you buy a ticket for? They're like, Ghost Rider. Suck it. Like, oh, cool, because, yeah.
Well, at least there's no more superhero movies being made today.
No.
Yeah, so you can find any weekend now. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great.
This has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Are we done?
About 5 minutes away. Hey, what did I say?
Should I put these in the fridge or warm them up?
Not a bad idea.
Microwave them for a
couple
seconds?
Warm gummy bears is probably bad idea.
Just like 8 seconds.
Warm gummy bears on your dick. I mean, I'm sure that's a fetish somewhere.
Well, then it's a mold. And then we have a great memory of what happened.
We can make gummy dick that molds.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Is Tom died, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he's a great line of gummy dicks.
Oh, yeah. But no, he's long dead now. Which, I mean, that makes sense.
I feel like this has been done at a bachelor party before.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Gummy dicks.
Yeah.
Did you ever,
guys, it has been really fun.
Did you ever eat more Mexican food on our shoot, by the way? And is there a shoot you've ever done where you're like, hey, how much of the same type of food can I eat?
It was really amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
But kind of great.
You just eat some Mexican food.
Yeah. I will say that was awesome too, and I don't know how consistent that is with
really
all your shoots.
It.
The amount of time that you, because hey man, like a big deal getting you in the film, and so for you to like hang and be that,
we had a really good time.
But
Tucson's a cool little town.
It is. It's on the
up
and up.
It's also very the drives between every place is like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So any two points in Tucson are 40 minutes away from each other.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but it seems to be true.
Good planning.
No. I had a really good time.
Is that do you go out of your, like, are you like, I want to do that when I'm on a shoot to like help with all the camaraderie of building, or is it just you just like
these
to hang?
Are the best kind of movies to me.
Yeah.
The ones where nobody like has a trailer.
Yeah.
You know, we made a movie
Everyone's
called
equal.
Hell Baby in New Orleans, and we had trailers, but no one ever went to them because we just shot in this one house.
Yeah.
So everybody was just around all the time. And especially like what's fun when you have like a little makeup room like we did, where it's like you just, and everybody just feels like we're all the same.
All this bullshit.
And yeah, it was really
felt like
really
summer
fun.
Camp.
Yeah.
We want to close with something called fan preguntas.
Sí, claro. Sí, claro.
And we have a theme song for it too.
We do.
Fan preguntas. Questions from the people. There'll be music behind that at some point.
But, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think there will be.
Okay.
I'm going to call your bluff.
You're saying we don't have a theme song budget?
I'm positive you don't.
Okay. You just drank a Capri Sun. You think that was cheap?
God, it tastes like... I'm going to see if it still tastes like,
goat.
Like goat meat. Yeah.
Here, that's the background music.
By the way, way better than what I was going to play. Pause it real quick. Here was going to be my fan question background
is that
music.
Public domain?
What?
Do you have public... Oh, I like it.
Well, this is
this
Edmund
feels like
McCain.
One of us...
That's
Edmund
McCain.
McCain out.
This feels like one of us died. This is like end credits of the podcast.
Well, I mean, we are about to stick our dick in a microwave gummy bear.
Yeah, it's just slow mo. This is like a senior photo album slideshow of Tom with gummy bears and fall leaves on the back of a jet ski for some reason.
We told him to have a great summer. Yeah. He had way too good of a summer.
Nutting into a pie. Crying, ending up in prison. Like the slideshow just is a progressive timeline of what happened that night. Yeah. In cuffs. Now he's in cuffs. Yeah. Now he's in the back of a squad car. Yeah. Now he's Now he's getting ready. He's going to kill himself, but it's a squirt gun. Psych, joke's on you or me. I ain't going to do it. Oh, man. Was there a gummy bear in that gun?
Well, if you're listening to just the audio, go to the YouTube. You have to see the act out that Thomas Lennon just did. And it still tastes like goat meat.
It really does.
All right. First fan question.
Yo.
What's your least favorite day of the week, Tom Lennon?
Sometimes I get a little gloomy on Sundays. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I get a little gloomy on Sundays.
You hate God. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's why. Although, when I was a kid, Sunday was my favorite night of the week because in Chicago, that's when it would be Benny Hill, Dave Allen at Large, and then Monty Python all in a row.
Wow. Holy shit.
So after I'd get real depressed on Sunday afternoon, I'd get very excited on Sunday evening. So
what an emotional day.
I had a big... It was a rough ride for me Sundays, guys. I don't know why. But Sunday would be the weird one for me.
Okay.
What do you think Kanye and Trump are going to talk about?
Oh, my God. They did that today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same... Oh, come on. What do they do? What's that meaning like? Yo, yeah, it's easy. Oh, my God, Kanye. Hi. Neat. And then he stares at her boobs, right? Because she's there the whole time.
Sure.
So he's staring at her boobs.
Yeah.
And he's just going, oh, yum, 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 yum. Who wants a Big Mac? Yeah, I guess I'll take one. And then it's just eating sounds.
Do you like that I have Edmund McCain playing in the background?
You like that? How was everybody's McDonald's? Pretty good? Okay. It's like that.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah, spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm crazy.
Feel like I'm there.
Okay.
By the way, there can't be a more...
Are there more fries or... I mean, or is that all the fries? Okay.
There can't be a more obscure pairing than those two.
No, they're... I think they love it because they both love...
Yeah, they know what's happening.
Bullshit.
It's Mad Libs.
Yeah.
At that point.
They're like, hey, what if I pulled out down my pants and ran down the street? Well, then you did. That's literally what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like when Mitt Romney had Meatloaf at his rally.
That makes way more sense.
I guess. Yeah.
Meatloaf's got a couple of hits.
Meatloaf's,
like, I get it.
Yeah.
I love any sentence that has to go, well, Meatloaf's Meatloaf.
Meatloaf was in the pilot of The State. Tiny trivia question.
I was just about to say, favorite state sketch ever.
Favorite state sketch ever. Okay, it may not be mine. Let's see.
It's tough to pick a fave, but one that just you think
favorite
of with fondness.
State sketch ever could be. I'm going to not go with one of mine, so I'm going to go with Louis, the guy who dips his balls and stuff. Yes. I'm a big Louis fan. That was a David Wayne and Ken Marino creation,
and really. Ahead of its time.
Yeah.
A guy named Louie who takes
his balls and stuff.
Bad time. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really ahead of its time.
So who wrote that?
Wonder if that's
a Wayne Marino jam.
Unreal.
I believe, yeah.
Wonder if that's where he got the idea.
Yeah. And then also mentions would be... Super Robbie is a really good sketch.
Yep.
It's the one where they tell the kid he's got superpowers and jumps out the window. It's like the nuns, and they shoot at him and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they give him a cape.
Will you show... kids will be able to...
Oh, no. Kids can watch. The state's like totally family-friendly.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the most dangerous thing is the guy who dips his balls and stuff, and that's just him saying, Baba Ganoush, I'm
going to dip my balls.
Yeah, it's really not that big of a deal.
I love this question.
Yeah.
It just says, ask him about growing up in Chicago with prayer hands, and then whatever he wants to talk about. Thanks, Adam.
Well,
so that's an open-ended question.
Yeah. Chicago is a great... this was a cool thing about Chicago, growing up in Chicago. One, it's a cool town. But if you're an actor in Chicago, if you're a kid, there's so much theater in Chicago that it seems like being an actor is like a real thing that you could do. And I know that happened to me because my parents would take me. I'd go to Second City, but we would go to the Victory Gardens and the Goodman and Steppenwolf.
You'd see people do it.
And there's like people acting as a job.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, that's a job.
It's not just a pipe dream.
Some people make shoes. Mm-hmm. Some people act at night. And so it was that aspect of growing up in Chicago was really cool.
To get exposed to all that when you're thinking of making that your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you got any advice for young writers on how to defeat writer's block?
Oh, shit. Well, this is a tough one because everybody struggles with it.
Yeah. How do you deal with it?
The one thing that I would
take a bowl of gummy bears.
Take a bowl of gummy bears.
Jesus, Brad, this is a kid show.
Put them in the microwave for 8 seconds.
I'm listening.
Seconds.
Go on.
Then freeze them.
And we're back.
So they've got a hard shell that you got to poke through.
Oh God.
Which is just horrifying.
Testing the human body.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. So I actually did just hit like a writer's block session pretty bad, and I think all you can really do is change up what you're doing for at least a little bit.
Yeah.
So. I'd say if you can, just put it down for a second to write something else completely.
Okay, so don't get out of the world of writing.
Don't get out of the world of writing, but if you can, write something else for a minute and then come back to that other thing. Just come back to it. But
like even like an angry Facebook reply.
No, write something positive. Write something that exercises your...
Yes.
You know, like, fuck it, write a poem or something.
Write your mother, she misses you.
Write a fucking letter.
Yeah.
But... do something that both works the muscle but does something different. It's like not having leg days. You have a lot of workout equipment.
This is Planet Fitness.
I'll put it in a fitness guy. You're not gonna destroy your legs 2 days in a row. Do something else for a second and then go back to it.
That's great advice.
Those calves won't flex themselves.
No, they won't.
Well, it depends on how hard you work that stepper.
That's true.
Well, thanks, bud.
This is really fun.
This was awesome.
Elliptical. Really fun. Are we done? Or are we still going?
Yeah.
I mean, we're technically going.
We can wait until the song goes out, but I think this might be the 19-minute version.
Yeah, it might be on loop.
No, I like it. Let's just listen.
Are you a big music guy?
Put our head down. Well, yeah.
Like before you go to bed?
I got a lot of guitars.
When do you listen to it, though? In the car?
What do I listen to? In the car? I listen to it in the car, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm puttering around the house.
Anything except the shins or just the shins?
Just the shins.
Just the shins.
Only the shins.
How are you this happy?
I listen to a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you said earlier that you're definitely a Lady Gaga guy.
I like Lady Gaga more than you would think. I don't listen to it every day.
Hey, easy, man. You're getting real defensive.
Every once in a while, you just need one Lady Gaga song.
You do.
Yeah.
You could be a Lady Gaga guy.
That was great.
When my niece is really getting Taylor Swift, I was like, you know what? Like, I now need a Swift in my rotation.
She's solid.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Have you seen her live?
You know what? You gotta do some sit-ups. Put on Bad Blood.
Tell me you don't get that six-pack.
You'll be glad you did. Like, well, shit. See, it's great.
Yeah, I'm already into it.
And now I've turned it off before we get sued.
I don't want to say I...
You're within the limit right now.
Yeah.
As long as you stop now.
Okay.
Stop right now.
God damn it, shit, Brad.
Stop right
shit,
now.
Brad.
Damn it. Talk over it.
No.
Brad.
I can't.
And we're out.
Why did it go?
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.